next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him."
Questions on that? Okay, hopefully I was clear. One other announcement. Next Sunday, we will have our Easter sunrise service outside at 7 o'clock. And then during the 10 o'clock resurrection of our Lord divine service, we will flower the cross. And that's one of my favorite times of the year, to see that old cross come to life symbolically. So bring cut flowers and some to share. How many of you participated when we did it outside during COVID? Do you remember driving up? And it was just a beautiful thing. So I hope you're able to be with us next week, and wherever you are, please attend church service next week. Any other announcements? Okay, let's move to prayer. One that you heard on the phone calls, let's just continue to keep Tony's mom, Barbara, in our prayers. And I think Tony is committed to stay there until the end, right? So let's just keep Barbara and the whole family, and keep Tony in prayer. The lion's share of the caregiving is on her. And Tony Y and I drove down Thursday and had a wonderful visit, but Tony is tired. So just anyone who's been a caregiver, you know it's draining. So keep her in prayer. Any other prayer requests?
Patty.
Oh, Patty. Yeah. Let's keep Patty in our prayers.
Let's keep Ruth in a prayer too, Tony.
Keep Ruth. Ruth is home with the IV, but just keep her in prayer. Yes, David.
A lot of you have asked about Helen, and quite frankly, I didn't know the answer. But I spent some time with my son yesterday, and he has a good report. He said it was kind of a downer to them that her numbers, whatever that Andy knows, I don't. But the numbers is what they look at from blood tests, and that it had risen some. He said that 35 and below is remission. And so she was running up to 29. She had been running up to 29, but her latest just the other day was 21. So it's falling, and she looks good. And so the Pat is doing well.
Praise God. And thank you for that update. Yes, sir, Webb.
Keep Liz in prayer. She was here with my mom for a couple days this week for a consultation at EBA. I'm not sure when the surgery is going to be, end of April, maybe beginning of May. And I don't even quite understand. And while they're in there, they're going to do a hysterectomy, but they got to do some sort of tummy thing. And stuff. All I know is she's been in a lot of pain for a long time now. Mom said she's to the point where she's almost bedridden all day. So just keep Liz in prayers and hope that they can get rid of surgery as quickly as possible and medical as well.
And she's only, what, 42?
42. No. She's 45.
Okay. 3 years. So let's keep Liz in our prayers, and that's Webb's sister, John.
Yeah, I was going to say that my far better half is feeling pretty lousy this morning with either a cough or the cough that's going around. I prefer it be the former. So.
Well, let's keep Tricia in prayer.
A little temperature, maybe.
Let's keep her in prayer. All right, anyone else? Let's keep the, it's the fifth one now. Let's keep the Tucker family in prayer as Chris died, and I hear from Carrie that understandably it's extremely tough on his 14-year-old daughter, Abigail. So keep him in our prayers. Anyone else? Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yes.
Agnes
is coming along quite well. And she's wanted me to thank you again. She's overwhelmed with the food that people have taken her. So if you did that, but you know, Agnes is, she's coming along. She's coming along and doing well. And I hope the gardeners are doing well. I don't know if anyone has an update. They were here last week, but not today. So hopefully Dave didn't have a setback. So let's continue to keep Dave in our prayers too. All right, let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for Emmanuel, for your presence. We thank you that while the law was sent to Moses, that grace and truth came in Jesus Christ. We thank you for that act of humiliation that begun long before the cross. His willingness to become human for us. We thank you for such an incredible sacrificial gift. We thank you that it not only is an incredibly, eternally sacrificial gift, even more to think that it's given freely. And even more yet, that you've also given us your Holy Spirit that we can receive and understand and accept and believe. So from start to finish, we give you praise. All is for grace. So we also thank you that beyond our redemption and eternal salvation, the fact that you care and are aware of even the hairs on our head, that intimate knowledge you have of each one of us. We just thank you for your compassion. And we pray that you would show that compassion on those that we've mentioned, be with Barbara. May her transition continue to be peaceful. And we just trust that our only comfort is knowing that we are not our own. And we just pray that you will bring her home smoothly. Be with Tony, and she's caring for her mom. Just help her to physically stay well and encouraged. You know, it's a new path for her to walk that grieving process of losing a parent, so comfort her. I pray that you'll be with all the family and just strengthen them. Pray that you would continue to be with Patty and with Ruth. We pray that you'd be with Tricia. We pray that you would be with Liz as she has an upcoming surgery. Prepare her body even now. We pray that you would be with the Tucker family. Especially we pray that you would be with Abigail as she's lost her earthly father. May you, as her loving heavenly father, draw close and minister to her in her pain. And also pray, giving you thanks for the good work that we've seen with different surgeries, and giving you thanks for the better numbers with Helen. Continue to be with Helen and Dave. May they just continue to see your presence there. We thank you that you invite us into worship. And as your children, we respond to enter into your courts with praise, all through your holy name. Amen. As we call one another to worship, we always only begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us.
unto you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use a portion of one of the psalms that Jesus and the disciples would have sung on Maundy Thursday. They're called the Psalms of Ascent, and we'll read a portion as we call each to worship, after which we'll sing hymn 221 and focus on your palm as those original recipients of Jesus into Jerusalem did. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me and have become my salvation.
The same stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day the Lord has acted. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna. Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us. Form a procession with branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you. You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Amen.
Daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem, Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double.
Amen.
Taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Where is my guest room
where I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you in our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about the folly and the sin of doing it my way. When we talked to Warren here, we sort of looked at that famous song of Frank Sinatra, and we looked at how foolish and how sinful it is to do it my way. It's foolish to be self-centered besides being sinful, because it doesn't work. It's a path that leads nowhere. We're broken. See, when we fell, it radically changed us. If you are ever shocked at someone's behavior, if you're ever shocked at your own behavior, we don't understand sin. If we understood the fact that we are fallen in sin, we're not just disabled, we're undone, as Isaiah would say. So, or as Jeremiah would say, the heart is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So, following my way is a foolish thing to do. In other words, our way, my way, will not give us the directions and the path to lead us home. Following my way only gets us lost. And we thank God that he came in Christ Jesus to seek and to save those who are lost, because they've been following the devices and desires of our way. So with all that said, today I want to focus on his way. What is his way? And the text I'll be using is from what Barry read in the book of Philippians, second chapter. Paul tells us in Philippians 2, three very wonderful truths. And it's very simple. It's not very understandable because we stand amazed at the gift that God would give us, but it's not complicated. So very simply, the first thing I want to say that we see here is that Christ was emptied that we might be filled. He was emptied that we may be filled. The word is kenosis, and we hear the kinetic passage. It means to empty. Let us be clear. He did not empty his deity. He did not stop being God. He was 100% man and 100% God. He didn't empty himself of his deity, but he humiliated himself. We think of the cross being a point of suffering. And sometimes we incorrectly think that Christ's suffering didn't begin until the day he was betrayed. But we need to understand that for the Almighty God to become human, to be put in the womb of one that he had created, to have to humble himself to learn, one modern commentator says it better than I could. I would like to quote him. "Jesus left the honor and praise of his throne and the glory of heaven to become an embryo in the woman of man. The sinless Son of God submitted himself to the authority and command of sinful human parents. The author and very personification of the Word of God spent day and night studying, meditating on, and teaching the Scripture in the temples and the courts. He was the one who had authored the word. He was the word, and now he is having to learn it as a human. The Almighty God, the Sabaoth Lord, in control of the myriad of armies of heavens, allowed humans with crude weapons to take him into custody. The one whose face exudes glory allowed it to be instead marred by fists and spit and cuts and bruises. The very resurrection and life in human form died. The death of a common thief. And he was buried in someone else's tomb. It was humiliation. He emptied himself so that we could be filled. He emptied himself in two ways. He didn't give up his divinity, his deity. How did he empty himself? This passage tells us in two ways. One is he veiled his glory. He veiled his glory. Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 53, he has no impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that would make us desire him. I mean, Mary, even in his resurrected body, until he spoke her name, thought he was a gardener. He wasn't one who carried the day by the charisma of his good looks. He wasn't a pretty boy. He veiled his glory. He veiled his glory. Do you know the two exceptions where his glory broke through? One we do know because we celebrate it as a liturgical day. Transfiguration. At the Mount of Transfiguration, his glory broke through. The veil of just being a human, 100% human, and 100% God. But the other one is somewhat surprising, and it speaks to his way. In John 17, he says that the time of your glory is now upon me. The crucifixion. Christ's glory was shown not only in the resurrection, but his glory was shown on the tree. Just ponder for a minute. Let me stop talking. Ponder any king that would humiliate themselves and suffer and die and take all the shame of the world for someone who was their enemy. Think of a God that became an embryo. He emptied himself so that we could be filled. So the first part is he veiled his glory. The second part is he laid aside his divine prerogatives. We know that the three major aspects that are not communicable to humans, attributes of God, are that he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's omniscient, he knows all things, and he's omnipotent, he's completely powerful. But Jesus Christ set aside the prerogatives that were rightfully his, we read in Philippians 2. He set them aside. He took the form of one body. He was no longer omnipotent. Omnipresent. He was no longer omniscient. He set that aside. He knew, but he also said that I only know what the Father has revealed to me. There's some things he doesn't. He confesses he didn't know. Of course he did as deity, but he said that he laid aside his divine prerogative. And he was no longer omnipotent in the human form of Jesus. He could do miraculous things, but he also got tired. He also cried. He also got confused, we see that, not confused, he was distraught, as we see in the garden. He shed tears, but he also modeled that at the end of the day, not my will, but thine be done. So you ask, why would Christ do that? Why would Christ do that? Most of us go tremendously out of the way to enter into somebody else's problems, don't we? I love not being involved in other people's problems. And we'll go out of our way. Why would Christ, why would the triune God manifest the second person in Christ for our trouble and our sin? We know the answer. Absolute and pure love. For God so loved the world that he gave, he delivered over his son so that we could be filled. And that's why Paul says in Colossians, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He emptied himself so that now we can be filled with him. The second thing we read in this passage, he not only emptied himself so that we could be filled, but he became poor that we may be rich. He became poor so that we may be rich. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. Isn't that a beautiful phrase? For your sake. That's where the Reformers got the Latin slogan that became just a real comfort, and it still is for me, the Latin pro me, which means it's for me. It's for me. That's why he did it. And the richness we have, he tells us in John 10, is that abundant life. He's given us eternal life. And that doesn't just start when we go to heaven. Eternal life, John 17 says, is knowing Christ. That's eternal life. That gives us a richness that the world doesn't offer. Do you ever ponder the difficulties of life? I know that's an understated question. But if you also pondered like I did just this past week and say something like this, it's hard enough going through the difficulties of life being a Christian, having the knowledge of Christ. How in the world do those that don't have that make it? And the fact that we do doesn't mean we're smarter than they are, or better than they are, or luckier than they are. It's because he was made poor so that we could be made rich in him. And then finally, he became vulnerable. He became vulnerable that we might know full and absolute security. I hope you've lived long enough now to know that security is really an illusion. As soon as you think everything's fine and smooth sailing now, it'll dissolve like a sandcastle. There is no security apart from Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus, there's absolute surety. Because he was willing to be made vulnerable. A God who's willing to suffer and to receive our stripes. And because of that now, there are three results. The first thing is, we can boldly pray. When we pray, and that's why it's often in the liturgy, as his children, we boldly pray. We're not sort of coming to Christ in the skin of our teeth, that we are to come humbly, but we need to know that in Christ Jesus we are secure. He wants you in his presence, for he loves you. The second thing is, which is really even sweeter, is what Paul says in Romans 8. We're not condemned. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That is absolute security. There's no condemnation. And then finally, we can't be lost again. One of my favorite promises in the scripture, and if you're not aware of this verse, you can claim it too, because is Isaiah 35. You know, we recently looked at grace in one of our Bible studies, and the truth of the matter is, grace is not a second chance. A second chance just gives you an opportunity to get it right again. And guess what we as broken, sinful people will never do? Get it right. So grace is not, okay, you got another chance to do it better. Because we will never get it right. That's what the law shows us. It condemns us, but it pushes us. It forces us to flee to the cross, to the one who emptied himself that we might be filled, and became poor that we might be rich, and became vulnerable that we might be absolutely secure. And you can't mess it up, because you didn't do it. He did it. And here's the passage, the promise I love, in Isaiah 35. And the highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. Don't you love that promise? God, I mean, we don't stay in the faith because we're wise or good or holy. We stay in the faith because He does it. And it's a gift from Him. Even fools shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. There shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return. And let me ask you, when someone is ransomed, what have they done? Nothing. We don't pay our own ransom fee. If I'm ransomed, someone who had the wherewithal and the love for me put up the goods to redeem and ransom me. And all I need to do is say thank you. See, we don't ransom ourselves. We are the recipients of His good work. And they shall come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The bottom line is, brothers and sisters, not our way, but His way is the only one that will safely take us home. Amen?
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is our joy and destiny to praise you, Lord God, for in wondrous love you cast stars into space, and in meek obedience your Son surrendered to cruel nails. With loving kindness, you called your people in Abraham, and in covenant with Moses, you bound up your life in theirs. Through exile, you stayed close to them, and in Jesus you came among them, bearing the fullness of grace and truth. Your Son Jesus faced rejection, cruelty, and death, yet in resurrection you exalted him, and in sending your Spirit you shed glory on all people. And so we rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, singing the song of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna is our cry, blessed one. Your son comes on a donkey in your name. As Jesus entered Jerusalem to bear our sorrow and suffer for our sins, enter our hearts and confront our waywardness today. Send your Holy Spirit upon us that we may be your son's crucified and risen body. And send your Spirit upon this bread and this wine that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant of my shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Humble God, your Son did not exploit his status, but emptied himself. Pour out your Spirit on all who are exploited in world or church, on all who are humbled by state or employer or family member, of all who are emptied of hope, faith, or love. As you highly exalted your Son who had become a slave, highly exalt your children who suffer for righteousness, or grieve those they have cherished, or bend the knee to one who does not honor them. Fill the earth with your justice and peace, until every heart shall sing and every tongue confess that you are the joy of their desiring. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, ever one God in all ages and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know one thing that the Lord never requires of sinners that come to him? And that is to explain why they did what they did to him. In fact, he doesn't even want to hear that as modeled by the prodigal son's father. When the prodigal son returned, the prodigal son's father was quite unconcerned for the reasons and excuses that the son offered. His only focus was he was dead and now he's alive. We come to this table not offering God any excuses or defenses, just pleading the blood. Falling at the feet of his grace, believing that truly because he humiliated himself and tasted death, in him we taste life, and that eternally. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to come and to receive. This is the Lord's table, so it's open to all who believe in Christ. We practice by intinction. I will give you a piece of the host, you'll dip it into the chalice, then come and pray. There are cards here. If you think of someone in particular that you lift up in prayer, send them a note and let them know. It would mean the world to them to know someone lifted them up in prayer. We'll have people up front that if you would like someone to join you in prayer, Please do so. But let us come as a true Eucharist, an act of giving thanks for his great gift given to us. Let us keep the feast.
Thank you.
Thank you for your indescribable gift. Thank you that you not only provided the way, you modeled the way of love and service, of humility and compassion, of grace and life, all of which we find only in and through the incarnate Son of God. We sing Hosanna to his name. Amen. Let us stand and close by singing hymn 222. And I want to provide that to you so that we can all relish in the fact that our God loves us so much he'd rather die than live without us. So we rest in that peace. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face up to you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.
The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.